I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Dance House is celebrating the 50th anniversary of Toronto Dance Theatre with a retrospective house mix, showcasing three decades of masterful works by TDT's artistic director Christopher House. Vancouver audiences will have the chance to see five exceptional pieces, 2016's Martingales, an excerpt from 1990's Fjeld, 13 from 2017, 1991's Early Departures, and Vena Cava from 1999. From one of Canada's leading dance companies, Mr. House became its artistic director in 1994. He has contributed over 60 works to the TDT repertoire and has created choreographies for many other companies, including the National Ballet of Canada, Ballet BC, and others. He has received many awards, including three Dora Maver Moore Awards, the Muriel Sharon Award for International Achievement in Dance, the Silver Ticket Award from the Toronto Alliance for the Performing Arts, and an honorary doctorate from Memorial University in Newfoundland. He was born and raised in St. John's and is also a member of the Order of Canada. As well, he is an associate dance artist of Canada's National Arts Centre. House Mix is at the Vancouver Playhouse the 23rd and 24th of February. Christopher will participate in a pre-show talk in the upper lobby of the Playhouse. Visit dancehouse.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Planta Online program from Toronto earlier this month, Christopher House. Mr. House, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So bringing these pieces to Vancouver just seems like a terrific way for those of us on this side of the country to see these works. I mean, some of us don't get to go to Toronto to see theater, dance, music, and even certain productions of Broadway shows. You know, we just read about it, I guess, in the Globe and Mail. How did this this idea of House Mix, how did you and Dance House here in Vancouver, how did you come together to bring it out here?
Well, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary as a company this year. Hard to believe. But we're doing quite a comprehensive national tour. We started in St. John's, Newfoundland, and we'll go Vancouver and Vancouver Island and up to Whitehorse. So we're seeing quite a lot of the country, and we're really happy to be including Vancouver on the itinerary.
I've
been to Vancouver many times with the company, and I've also enjoyed performing there on my own and doing some teaching. So it's a city that I feel very close to.
Yeah. So you've been with TDT. I guess you've been its artistic director since 1994, but you've been associated with them from before that. Is that right?
Almost 40 years. Yeah. No, it's incredible. And next year is going to be my 25th anniversary as artistic director.
Yeah. The renown of this company around the world, I mean, and just how it's been known around the world, I mean, that's just increased year after year, hasn't it?
Well, you know, we keep working and we believe in what we're doing. I think that one of the things that distinguishes us as a company is a commitment to, I don't know, I guess you'd call it ongoing artistic professional development. So we never really take anything for granted. We're always involved in asking questions about what we're doing and working with this idea of building on shared learning. So it's not just one person who's making all the decisions. You know, although people have specific roles within the organization, ultimately everyone has a voice.
I've always wondered that because you work as a choreographer, just how much of the piece is, say, your own vision or your own creation, and how much the feedback from the performers themselves, or not even just performers, but people around in the production, how that contributes to the piece that the audience finally sees later on.
Well, I think it's, you know, the essence of performance is what the performers are doing. So every single thing that you're making is in partnership with those people that are going to be out there on stage, you know, negotiating the tasks that you've set for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and the people you're working with really determine what happens. I suppose it's... And maybe I've even done this in the past, where you know, you make things in that are sufficiently abstract that you know, sort of any competent dancer could make it work in some way. You know, anyone who's got enough training or the ability to learn a set of movements. But that's not really what we're about right now. I think more and more, as we live in this digital world where, you know, 99% of our daily experience is flattened through that, that we really want to make a case for the liveness of live performance. And all of these works that we're presenting in Vancouver, I think, show evidence of that commitment, this idea of making the performance, of making each performance a singular event. And the people who are the dancers or the performers or interpreters, whatever you want to call them, the fact that they have real agency in the performance and they're working as a community, you know, they're really encouraging each other and challenging each other and setting up, just goading each other on in, I think, in a really positive way, so that then it's something that dance can do really beautifully, ensemble work. It can really become a metaphor for really ethical societal collaboration. You know, the best way of people working together to build something.
Yeah, it really is a collaboration, isn't it? Because the audience sees, say, one person or multiple people on stage. But to get there, I mean, there are a lot of people involved, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. No, it's huge. I mean, I think the biggest part of my job is really gathering people around me that are inspiring and have amazing ideas, and that I feel a real strong sense of trust toward, and then off you go, you know?
Yeah. So the piece is called House Mix, and it features five pieces from the repertoire over the last, I guess, since your time there at TDT.
Yeah, I think the earliest, it's even before I became director, the oldest piece on the program is two excerpts from a larger piece called Fjeld, which is F-J-E-L-D.
Yeah.
And that was made in 1990. And the most recent piece is something called 13, which hasn't, we've been performing a little bit on the Atlantic leg of the tour, but its premiere was in Bogota in Colombia in November this year. So it's brand new. So that's quite a range.
Yeah.
And each of the pieces has a slightly different set of performance challenges.
Yeah.
So it the program shows the versatility of the company in a really positive way. Sometimes that word versatile suggests a degree of superficiality, which is not so exciting. But a deep versatility where you can redefine virtuosity depending on the needs of the work. That's pretty exciting to see people working with a lot of skill.
Is there a theme? I mean, I'm wondering how you pick the five pieces that you, because you have over 40 pieces that you could have done here, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's an act of curation when you put these pieces together. The opening piece is a very, I don't really use the word improvisation because it makes people think of a particular approach to performance. But, the choreography, the score is very, very specific, but it's super risky, eventful. You're never sure exactly what's going to happen within the context of the piece. And then it goes from that, which is a fairly recent piece called Martingales, which is sort of about probability and maybe inspired by the movement of elementary particles and the unpredictability and sort of the poetry that happens at that subatomic level. You go from that to these older works from Fjeld, one of which is inspired by the films of Ingmar Bergman, and the second one is it's a trio for three men that's inspired by Renaissance painting and, you know, sort of the pathos of the, you know, in something like Caravaggio, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it they're very different takes on the body, but you recognize these same human beings performing that work. They're not pretending to be different people.
Yeah. So when you look back at these five pieces and see, I guess, just the passage of time, if you will, because it's over 25 years, some of these pieces. Is there an evolution in your own work that you can see? It might be hard because you're there, you're its creator, but if you need to sort of take a look back, maybe, take a step back, can you see?
I can see an evolution for sure. I can see how my interests have shifted. I work very differently with the performers now than I did in 1990, for sure. And I think maybe the ethics of performance have changed. So, I mean, there's a way, worst case scenario, I would say, in dancing of rehearsing work with a kind of iron hand, so that the subject that emerges in performance is obedience, maybe. You know, people submitting to the requirements of the piece obediently. I mean, there can be something interesting about that, but for me, I'm more interested in creating space for the performers. So maybe they're obedient to the ethics of the work, but they're not totally submitting their humanity to, for example, to a particular kind of shape, let's say. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. No, it does. In terms of movement, in terms of form, style, I find this an odd question to ask, but I'll ask it anyway. In sure. Contemporary dance, is there, are there innovations, say, in that regard?
I mean, the pieces look, they appear differently. I mean, one of the works that we're doing is a piece called Early Departures that I made in, I think, 1992. It's a dance for four men, and it's really about the agony and confusion and guilt of being a queer man at a time when everyone around you was dying, particularly in the arts community. You know, like of the maybe five or six guys that I started training with, I was the only one who didn't die by the mid-90s, and it was, you know, just kind of an interesting dance probability that I was the one that survived in there. So this piece is, I wasn't sure I was doing that when I started making the dance initially, but it's very clear. It's in a style that I really didn't. It's what am I trying to say? It's a unique piece in my repertoire. There's nothing else that I've made that looks really anything like it stylistically, or in terms of it's a representation within the work, and that's really interesting to me. That it's a unique statement that clearly came from like a very deep, you know, psychic need or emotional place in the making, and also in the collaboration with the performers I was making. So, I mean, I look at that and I go, okay, what's changed about how I work now, and I think it's true that your work really reflects the time in which it's made, whether you like it or not. That's who you are. And the interesting thing, looking at a retrospective, is not just seeing how the work has changed, but realizing that you're not really the same person that you were when you made that thing.
Yeah.
Which is a bit creepy in a way, because sometimes we think that, you know, we are who we are, but you realize how fluid your how fluid your relationship to, let's say, to ideas and values actually is.
Right.
You know, and sometimes you think, is that good? And then, I mean, my consolation, I guess, is I think that by the act of changing, evolving, morphing, however you describe it, that I'm at least in dialogue with what I'm encountering rather than being, you know, kind of stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my work, this is my practice, this is who I am.
So do you think,
better for work.
Yeah, so do you think, Christopher, that it's growth, or do you think it's just getting older? Because I think a lot of us conflate the two and think they're the same thing, you know?
Some of it's getting older for sure, but I think that for me as an artist, because I didn't dance when I was a young person, I didn't get involved in making art or even studying dance until I was in my last year of university. So I've always been, I guess, playing catch up in a way, educating myself as an artist, and then I realized very quickly that my motivation for making something is to learn something. So the making of the piece is exploring what's necessary in order to make that piece.
So when you were talking about early departures, this piece from the early 90s a moment ago, you mentioned that looking back at it now, it seems that you're a different person. So do you think that in creating a piece of art, as you have, in particular early departures, that it is healing at all in terms of the stuff that you've encountered, the stuff that's going around you, going on around you?
I'm not sure I can answer that. I don't really think in those terms.
Because when I talk to artistic people all the time and they come through a project or they've managed to get through it, they talk about the catharsis that's come about. I mean, in dance, is that something that, I don't know if you're seeking it, but I mean, at the end of the day, is it something that you've, say, perhaps found?
Yeah, I think my touch is pretty light, even when I surprise myself with what I'm making. I'm following my interest. I'm following things that I've discovered or that I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to learn about, and I'm also following this kind of really evanescent passive inspiration, this beam of inspiration that you get from the people you're working with, you know, who you've fallen in love with for various periods of time in the working, and the love comes from the pleasure in creating these things together. But I'm not sure that I, when things are done, that I think about them that much. You just kind of go on to, actually that's interesting. And maybe sometimes at my peril, I really don't spend a lot of time dealing with the past.
Well, and I guess you're always moving on to the next thing. That's why you've got over 40 pieces in your repertoire. I mean, it says something about being prolific, that you're just able to keep on going.
I don't know if I'm that prolific, but, you know, I've had the luxury of being able to make a living as an artist from the beginning of my career, and then that means that I'm able to be working pretty much all the time if I want to. But I don't have a sort of crazy drive to make a lot of stuff. You just go from one project on to the next interesting project. And then sometimes less now, but certainly when I first became the director, there was a period of time where there was a little bit of conflict between what I wanted to do and maybe what was necessary in order to feed what I perceived as the needs of this institution. And the way out of that was to just change the institution so it became more responsive to the needs of the artists.
I'm curious to know as well, because Dan says something that I haven't been following all too much, but I'm fascinated by the work that you do. The body itself, dance in your own body, physically it can take a toll. What do you do because if you're not able to do anything physically, I mean, you're probably not of any help to the people around you.
Yeah, you know, some people can sit in a chair and tell people what to do. If I'm not in my body, I can't think of a thing. So it's, and that's part of coming to dancing late a little bit. I've always been very physically connected to what I'm making. So it's what happens kind of spontaneously in the process, and then you go, oh, okay, that thing, I can build on that in some way. So yeah, if I'm not feeling physically, like I had hip surgery. I have a hip replacement, which I got almost coming up for a year ago. And that's made such a huge difference, and it's really changed my engagement with the work again. And I'm like, right, now I realize that for 3 years when I was dragging that leg around with me, I didn't have the same appetite for making that I have now. So, yay, it's nice to be living in Canada when you can have that kind of thing taken care of.
Yeah, not worry about it as people in the...
That's amazing.
Yeah. So knowing your body as you do, does it make... This may seem like a silly question, but I'm you know... I'll ask it anyway. Does it make ailments and aches, say, I mean, the common aches that one would have, does it make it easier to overcome?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're not a victim of your sort of fear around your body because, yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of work. But I'm really interested in problem solving. So, I'm sort of a weirdo. I actually enjoyed the rehab from my hip surgery because it was just really interesting to figure out how, what was the most efficient way to regain, you know, mobility and strength and all of those things. And it was pretty fun.
So did you view the hip surgery as sort of a recharge?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also this weird thing, or maybe it's not so weird. Often when people who don't have the luxury of developing a deep relationship with their bodies on a daily basis, this idea of pain, the body in pain, and then wanting to avoid the pain by not moving.
Yeah.
There's this, just because, you know, as dancers you're dealing with sort of limitations all the time, there's this continuum that what you may call pain, I would call sensation. And so, you know, obviously you don't want to be doing things when you're in extreme pain.
Yeah.
But sensation is a different thing. That's consciousness. And it's making you realize that, you know, it's giving you feedback about what's necessary.
As well,
you know,
as
that muscle's overused, or maybe it's time to be a little softer with this landing at this moment in the day. And that's just from again, the gift of being able to be physical on a daily basis.
You understand your limitations too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you can question them sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've always found all artistic endeavor, including dance, whether in times of joy or uncertainty, especially uncertainty in this sort of period that we're living in, the arts are terribly important, and dance is critical in that regard. What are audiences like? I mean, did you find that they feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, we've had an interesting time. We've just been on the road for 3.5 weeks in Atlantic Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Starting January 8th, and, you know, lots of snow and cold weather. And one would think that it would be pretty sparse in those theaters, in cities that aren't so large. And I was so encouraged and, you know, just kind of lifted up by the appetite that we encountered on this tour. Mm-hmm. By the size of the audiences, by their enthusiasm. I mean, we had 7 standing ovations on this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like our work is, I mean, I really believe in this program,
mm-hmm.
but it's like we're not doing crazy razzmatazz, that's entertainment kind of work. It's, we're the work really respects the intelligence of the audience and assumes a degree of curiosity on their part. And it's really nice to see that people actually respond positively to that.
And I'm sure that's the same reaction you'll expect here in Vancouver, right?
Well, we'll see. But anyway, I'm excited to be coming.
You mentioned being in the Atlantic part of the country recently. You're from Newfoundland, is that
right?
Yeah,
from St. John's.
Yeah. Does that remain close to say, the fore of your identity? I mean, you've been in Toronto a long time now, so I'm wondering what of being from that part of the world do you retain?
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I love going to St. John's. I'm actually working on a project there next summer. Maybe something about that island mentality where you're always curious about the rest of the world. Because, you know, maybe growing up, just waiting for the world to come there. Now it's fun to be able to go out on my own. Yeah, I mean, it would be hard for me to live there because you really need a large urban environment to do the kind of work I'm interested in. But who knows in the future? Yeah. I mean, it's gorgeous there.
Well,
people are great.
Yeah. I've talked to lots of people from that part of the world, and you know, the way they talk about it makes you ache to want to go there. I mean, I've never seen it myself, you know? Yeah. Contemporary dance's audience, as opposed to, say, other forms of dance, like ballet or hip-hop even.
Yeah.
How have you found over the years that audience in terms of not just its size, but how it consumes contemporary dance? I mean, it's a loyal base, isn't it? But I mean, is it a growing one?
Well, interesting question. I mean, our audience changes. It's changed a lot from the time that I've become director. I mean, it's younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's more diverse, but that reflects, you know, the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think it's way more critically engaged. Like, people really look at things not saying, okay, this is a dance piece, this is what dance looks like, but they're, instead, they're saying, okay, what is the contract that this work is proposing with the audience? You know, what are you proposing, and what are the rules of engagement you're suggesting? And then from that place, they're able to decide whether the work speaks to them in any way, and also they're able to, you know, as they see more and more work, they're able to decide what they think is stronger or weaker as a work of art.
So the reaction from the audience, I mean, that matters, obviously. I mean, probably more than, say a review in a paper or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the review in the paper thing is interesting because the idea of experts has really been blown out of the water a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With the internet,
everyone is a critic.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just the reality that we're living in right now. It's great when people are engaged, and it's particularly great when people that are not practitioners or don't have a huge amount of experience with the work come to you with, you know, I was saying to a friend last night, I was really interested in a number of people that I met on this trip who were not really dance goers, talked about their experience, and in essence, described back to me exactly what it was that I was hoping for.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, like, and meanwhile, there's this buffer of people in between who are saying that audiences aren't ready for, you know, certain kind of work, or they need to see more entertaining work. And then you think, all right, great, this work spoke directly to this person, and you know, somehow enhance their dialogue with the world. So, yeah, it just gives me a feeling of hope. Nice.
Yeah, we talked a moment ago about the hip replacement and what that meant in terms of a recharge physically.
Yeah.
How are you able to keep your own energies, not just physical ones, but creative energies? Because you mentioned that next year it'll be your 25th year as artistic director of TDT. And a 40 year plus career in dance. I mean, year after year, the creativity. How do you? I mean, what's the lesson here in terms of those of us who want to know just how to keep it going year after year?
Yeah, I you know, for me, it's really following your interest.
Mm.
And not, you know, like, people get into a pattern, or they say, okay, this is my formula, and they repeat that, you know, whether in their work or in their life, and I think that then people get bored a little bit, and I've never really had a pattern or a formula, so I'm always just kind of careening forward, and I guess when things are going well, you know, doors open and you just make quick decisions and you go through them because they're not open that long.
Mm. Christopher, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Our time's just gone by. I wish you many congratulations on TDT's 50th anniversary.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And I guess I don't say you break a leg to a dancer, do I?
You could, but yeah.
I guess merit is
but
the...
But we hope it won't happen.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Visit dancehouse.ca for tickets. The 23rd and the 24th of February is when House Mix will be at the Vancouver Playhouse, 8 p.m. both nights. And, of course, there's the pre-show chat with Mr. House at 7:15. Christopher House, join me on the line from Toronto and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.